Welcome to the Montgomery Community Church podcast. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you to grow deeper in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about MCC, you can visit our website at mcc.church.
What are you devoted to? Maybe your family, your spouse, your kids, your brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles. Maybe your job, if you want to keep it. Maybe your favorite sports team. Maybe the news. Maybe a particular podcast. Maybe a person. Maybe a show. Maybe there's this one person that you follow and you can't miss anything they say and you hang on to it. Whatever they say is gold. When I look at my time and I ask, what does my time say I'm devoted to? Sure, it would say things like God, my family, even exercise and healthy eating. But those are the things I'm proud of. Would my time also say I'm devoted to my phone, TV, my comfort, whatever's easy? Probably. So what should we be devoted to? Today, as we continue in our series on Colossians, Live for More, we've been talking about living for the right kind of more. Well, today we're talking about more devotion, but we need more devotion to the right kinds of things. Because I hate to break it to you, more devotion to Skyline Chili's not going to bring about the right kind of more in your life. So today we're going to Colossians, open up to chapter 4. We've made it to the final chapter. We're in chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Take out your phones, your Bible, get there with me. And here we go. Colossians 4, starting at verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. All right away it starts out, devote yourselves. Well, this Greek word for devote occurs only 10 times in the New Testament, and most of the time it's in reference to the early church in Acts. And when we think of that early church, we think of lots of devotion, right? They were selling everything they had. They were coming together constantly to pray. God was adding to their numbers. There was a lot of devotion going on there. Half of the times this word is used, it's used in reference to prayer. And it means to adhere to be constant, steadfast, to continue, to persevere. So maybe you pray, but be honest, are you devoted to prayer? How can we be devoted to, constant in, persevere in prayer if we don't know how to pray, though? So I've been leading a women's Bible study here at MCC on Tuesday mornings. We've been working our way through Colossians. And one day I asked the women to just write down a question that they have about prayer or something that they struggle with prayer. And as I read over them, their responses were great. And I thought, I'm sure they're not alone in these. So I'm actually going to share several of those with you today. And they're going to help guide us as we seek to be devoted to prayer. So one woman asked, does prayer have to be a formal thing, or can it be a casual conversation with God? So let's look to Jesus for our answer. Keep a bookmark or a finger or whatever in Colossians, but let's hop over to Luke 11. We're going to be there for a little bit. Luke 11, starting in verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. What do you notice here? The request is us It's plural, not singular. So we're going to learn today prayer is a lot more communal than we often think. We often think of just our personal individual prayer life with God, but it's also meant to be lived out in community. And then I also noticed the request is teach us to pray, not how to pray. The disciples want prayer to distinguish their group as followers of Jesus. And so then Jesus is going to answer, and we're going to dive into his answer, but he's going to spend just 3 verses teaching them how to pray, and then 6 verses actually teaching them to pray. His model prayer is very short. You know, scripture makes it clear that we're not going to impress God with our long-winded prayers or fancy words. Short and simple is okay. Don't ever be afraid to go to God in prayer because you don't know if you'll ask the right thing or in the right way. But Jesus goes on to give us this model. Excuse me. In verse 2, he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread.'" Do you notice all the us, it's plural, right? This is communal. "Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." The prayer is focused on community. He doesn't say my Father, but our Father. It's not enough to devote ourselves individually to prayer. We need to devote ourselves to corporate prayer as well. So Jesus gives them a model for prayer, and it's very similar to a model I'm going to give you today. It's an acronym, PRAY. And the first one, the P, is praise. So he starts out by praising God. He says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed, set apart, holy. In heaven is acknowledging his reign, his rule, his control. But the part that would have shocked people back then and definitely would have set Jesus' disciples apart from everyone else is the "Our Father." No one dared address God that way. That was too personal, too intimate. So this was revolutionary. He's saying, no, he is your loving Father, and you need to know that when you go to him. So start with praise. And then repent. You notice he says, "Forgive us as we also forgive others." So we need to establish a regular routine of saying, "God, examine me. Show me where I'm not walking in line with you. Forgive me. Help me to get on the right path." But then the other thing, and I think we so often, I know I do, neglect to do this part is also, "God, where do I need to forgive someone else? Who maybe has sinned against me? Am I holding on to bitterness that I need to let go?" Sorry, I've been battling a cold all week. The interesting thing of it is that I thought I was going to lose my voice, so I spent a lot more time quiet and praying and listening to God. I'm like, you know, he has a way of working. All right, the A is ask. So he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's a need over greed. He's saying, give me daily bread, not a monthly feast, right? So we can ask him anything. Definitely ask for your needs, and you can ask for wants and desires, and we'll talk as we continue to go about what are some of those best things to ask for. And then the why is to yield, ultimately submit to his will, because we trust his way is best. Jesus didn't give this prayer to tell the disciples that it was the only way to pray or that they had to use these words every single time. One woman shared she struggles with how to pray and what to pray for. Jesus knew that would be a struggle, so he gave us this example. In answer to that previous question, no, prayer does not need to be a formal thing. God wants us to talk to him anytime about anything. It's much more important to pray rather than how we pray. So now let's continue as Jesus teaches them to pray, starting in verse 5 of Luke 11. Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So why does the friend give bread? Not because of the friendship, the relationship that they have, which you would think. It's because of that persistence or shameless audacity. It's because it's the middle of the night and he's knock, knock, knocking on that door and will not go away until he gets that bread. Jesus is teaching us to ask over and over. Be persistent, be devoted in prayer. And he continues in Luke 11:9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. The Greek here for ask means ask and keep asking. It's not a one and done. It's persistence. So if Jesus taught this, did he live it? Did Jesus, who was fully God, remember we read earlier in Colossians how all the fullness of the deity dwells in Christ, did he model a need for devotion to prayer? And the answer is yes. The Gospel of Luke alone mentions 7 times where Jesus was praying, and several of those say things like this, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus set the example for us of what it looks like to be devoted to prayer individually and in community. Another great question that was asked, does God want us to pray about our heart's desires or only pray his will be done? To answer this, let's look at another example from Jesus' life when he knew the time had come for him to suffer and die. In Mark, he went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything's possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus clearly prays for his heart's desire here, so that's okay. He doesn't want the pain, suffering, shame that's about to come, and he's begging his Father for another way. But ultimately, he submits, he yields. He says, but not my way, God, yours, because I know your way is best. So it brings us back to that PRAY acronym, and that A, ask. Yes, we can ask for anything. Be honest, God already knows what you're thinking. But ultimately, let's yield. Yield and say, not my way, God, though, your way. He knows the future. We don't. He knows what is best. Will you trust him with that? One woman shared, it doesn't feel like God is there when I pray. But in 1 John, we read, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know, do you notice the we's again? We, us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. God hears us when we are seeking to align our will with his. That's why it's so important that we yield and trust he's working for the best and that we pray in community too. We remember that we. My heart breaks when I hear someone say, I don't know, I just don't feel God is there when I pray. And let me encourage you this, he's definitely not holding himself far off from you. The Bible says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And you know what? He's not waiting for you to get your act together before you do that. He's not saying, will you take care of these things first and then you come to me? No, he wants you just as you are. He wants you to come. In Jeremiah, he tells his people that if they seek him, they will find him if they seek him with all their heart. God is waiting for you. No matter who you are or what you've done. So let's come on back to Colossians, back to our passage, chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, I think watchful could mean several things here. Yes, watch for answers to your prayers. Watch and see what God is doing around you and hold those things up in prayer. But also, I want to note this Greek word for watchful is most often used in regards to watching for the end times, being ready for when Jesus will return. And I think that ties very well into the rest of our passage that we're about to go into. Being watchful and ready, we never know when the end will come. And be thankful. Well, this isn't the only time that Paul pairs thankfulness with prayer. It reminds me of a passage in Philippians, so let's look there. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So when are we to pray? Always. Every situation. And why do we give thanks when we pray? We do it because we're reminded of his past faithfulness, his goodness, and then we have confidence and can trust he will do it again, and he's always working for our good. Well, as we continue in verse 3, Paul tells them something else to pray for. He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul's in prison. He does not pray for a change in his circumstances. He does not pray that I'm released soon. He says, pray that I may proclaim the gospel clearly as I should. How often are we in prayer for that? That the gospel would spread, that we would be representatives of Christ proclaiming his message clearly. How often do we prioritize the furthering of the gospel over the bettering of our circumstances? Would we rather have our lives easier or God's glory revealed? A friend of mine shared with me this week about this woman in his life group who's facing terminal cancer. And in spite of her circumstances, she is devoted to praying for others and encouraging others. And he just talked about what a blessing she has been, both to those in their life group in the church and those outside of the church. What a testimony it is that her prayers are not for herself and the bettering of her circumstances, but for others. So Paul isn't praying for a change in circumstances. He's praying God would be glorified in the midst of them. This most certainly is an example of praying in God's will. For what is God's will? 2 Peter 3:9 says, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's will is that everyone would be saved. So we can have confidence knowing that we're praying in God's will when we pray that others would know Jesus. Are we devoted to praying for that? Will we pray for opportunities to proclaim the mystery of Christ and that we would do it clearly? Are we devoted to praying for others who we know give of their time and lives to tell people about Jesus, like missionaries, pastors, elders, church leaders? Do we pray for MCC and other churches across the globe? This is so inspiring and challenging. So for those of us who say we don't know what to pray for, here are some ideas from Jesus and Paul. Pray for stronger faith. Pray for your desires, but ultimately that your will would align with God's. Give thanks. Pray for Christ's return and that we, his church, would all be watchful and ready. Pray less for a change in your circumstances and more that God would be glorified in the midst of them. Pray that Christians would proclaim God's message clearly. Pray for church leaders and missionaries. Pray that you would make the most of every opportunity in words and in actions to bring the lost to Christ. Pray specific names of people you want to experience a relationship with Jesus. Pray for those in our building to know Jesus. There are children downstairs, youth across the way, learning about God right now. Pray that they would develop a relationship with Christ. If you look at the context in Colossians, when we were in chapter 3, Paul was addressing how the church would relate to one another. That was the whole section on what to take off, what to put on. That was about our dealings within the church. And then he went on to address how should you deal with others in your family and your household. And then he talked to wives, spouses, parents, kids, slaves, masters. Now we're getting to verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4. And he's going to address how we are to interact with those outside of the church. And as we read it, I want you to remember that these yous are really you all, because this is a letter to the church. Verse 5, be wise in the way you all act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. When are you around those outside of the church? Are you making the most of every opportunity with them? If you come to a Second Saturday serve, are you taking the time to pray over someone? Or if you see your neighbor over the next week or two, are you inviting them to the extravaganza and the Easter service here at church? And what about the words you use with and around them? As Christians, is our conversation always full of grace, or does the world more often hear judgment? As Montgomery Community Church, is our speech full of thankfulness or complaining? And as God's church, are our words full of fear or peace? We must be wise. If our faith doesn't flow to our words, what will draw someone to Christ? So what does it mean for our words to be seasoned with salt? The people Paul was writing to would know salt as a very valuable resource. It had a lot of jobs. One was as a preservative. It would keep things from rotting or spoiling. So I like to think of that as words that would bring life, not death. Salt also brings flavor. Think of your favorite meal. If you're like me, you like something with lots of flavors, lots of spices. You can taste it all. Imagine that. Hopefully your mouth is watering now. That's how enticing everything from our mouths should be to those outside of the church. Salt also was something that heals, and it represented trust. So when Paul tells us to have our conversations seasoned with salt, I believe he's saying, may you speak with words that heal, restore, and taste good to those around you. May your words restore relationships and build trust. So how does today's passage tie all together? We as the church must be devoted to prayer, being watchful. We never know when the end may come. Jesus says he will return like a thief in the night. And at that point, anyone who doesn't know him will be separated from him for all of eternity. That is why Paul asked for prayer that he would present the gospel clearly and effectively. He wants as many people to be saved as possible because he realizes the urgency of the gospel. That is also why he tells us to be wise in the way we act towards those who don't yet know Jesus, to make the most of every opportunity in our words and actions so that others would be drawn to faith in Christ. So our big idea for today is that as the body of Christ, we are to devote ourselves to prayer and the furthering of the gospel. Hopefully this passage has challenged us all today. I know I'm not as devoted to prayer as I'd like to be. And many of us are probably thinking something similar to this woman. I would like to grow in my prayer life. How and where do I start? And let me tell you, just begin by asking God for help. He will gladly help you when you ask. When I was in high school, the church that I attended at the time did this challenge. It was called One for One at One. It's an awesome challenge, and I honestly encourage you all to try it this week. But the idea behind it is that we would think of one person in our life who we really want to know Jesus, and we'd commit to praying for them for 1 minute every day at 1 o'clock. I was on board. I had my person. I was ready to go. Let's do it. But a day would come and go, and I'd forget. And a day would come and go, and I'd forget. And I was so frustrated. I said, God, please, you know I want to do this. Please help me to remember to pray at 1 o'clock. So the next day, I'm sitting in class at school, and so clearly in my mind, I hear this voice say, look at the clock. I know no one else heard it, but I sure heard it. I look up. It's 1 o'clock on the dot. I was almost laughing, almost crying, like, God, you care about me that much. You'll overcome my weaknesses and you will help me to be devoted to prayer. So I challenge you, ask him to help you. But ways that you can also help yourself, steps that you can take as individuals, set reminders on your phone or alarms on your phone that would make you pause and pray, or determine certain times of the day that, hey, I'm always going to pray before my feet hit the floor in the morning, before I fall asleep at night, when I'm walking, when I'm driving, before I eat. I'm going to set these certain times that I will always pray. As a body of Christ, we can start to improve our prayer life by attending a prayer class. We have one coming up, starts mid-April. It's a 6-week class based on the Lord's Prayer. We touched on part of that prayer today. You will be equipped in your prayer life as you go to this class, and you will also have a chance to practice it and pray together. Also, every third Thursday of the month, we gather in the chapel to pray as a body over our church, our community, our world. I encourage you to join us. The men have been having retreat days with the Lord. They've had 2 awesome days. One more is coming up in April. Men, I encourage you to jump on board with that. Just a day to be with the Lord in community and individually, to hear from him, to pray to him. Ultimately, all we need to do to improve our prayer life is to practice, to just do it. So we're going to take that opportunity in a couple moments here, and we're actually going to pray together. But before we do that, I want to hit on a couple more questions. Of all the things that were shared in the women's Bible study, here's the most common. How do I stay focused when I pray? A lot of you are probably thinking, yep, that's my struggle too. So first, just be patient with yourself. It does take a lot of practice, and sometimes you'll be praying and your thoughts will wander away, and then they'll come back to prayer and they'll wander away. That's okay. Part of this is how we learn to pray continually throughout the day, because you'll have other things that you need to address and conversations you need to have throughout the day. So it's teaching yourself to pray and go away and come back to it and go away and come back to it. And prayer is a 2-way conversation, so make sure that we're also pausing to listen. But you can stay focused as you pray by practicing praying with others. Go home and pray with your family, pray with your spouse, pray with some neighbors, pray with your life group. And maybe as you do it, use that PRAY acronym that we learned today to help guide your prayers. Or maybe you're just going to use that on your own. You know, you can journal your prayers, or even if you're someone who doesn't like to do a lot of writing, at least I challenge you, write out that PRAY acronym, and then by that A, ask, make a list of things that you're asking God. That does a few things. It keeps you focused. It helps you to pay attention when he's actually answered your prayers, so you can pause and thank him instead of just going on and forgetting. But list things there. Pray that you would have conversations with people about Jesus. Pray for missionaries, pastors, church leaders. Pray for our church. Pray for opportunities to share the gospel. Well, our final question of the day. Does prayer change God's mind? There are instances in Scripture where we definitely see God acts as a result of prayer, so our prayers matter. But what if prayer is more about changing us and less about changing God? Through prayer, we seek to change our will to His. We share with Him our thoughts, our fears, our worries, our desires, but ultimately we submit to Him, asking Him to work in, around, and through us. Your loving Father, who reigns in heaven, who's all-powerful, almighty, wants to spend time with you. Prayer is about seeking to know Him more, enjoying time in His presence. So as we close, we're going to take some time to pray together. I'm going to lead us through some prayer, and then we will have the band play Make Room. And when they play that, I want you to make it your prayer. I want you to think about those words, pray them to God, and I want you to feel freedom to move around. So if you're at home watching online, get down and kneel, pace. If you're here in the room, the aisles are free. You can come forward, kneel at the altar, whatever you need to do. Speak to God. Draw near to Him. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. You are a good, good, loving Father. You are mighty. You are all-powerful, yet you care about each one of us. You are holy. You are pure, yet you don't wait for us to get our act together to come to you. So we praise you. Spend some time quietly in your hearts or even out loud. Praise God. Tell Him what you love about Him. Father, we repent. We're sorry. As MCC, we repent for not being devoted to prayer always, and as devoted as we should be to the advancement of the gospel. Lord, may that break our hearts like it breaks yours. Forgive us. God, examine each one of our hearts right now. Show us where we're not coming right in line with you. Convict us, and may we repent. And you've promised that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just and forgive us our sins. So just confess to Him right now, quietly in your heart. We come to you to ask. What a privilege that is, that you don't get tired of hearing from us. You want us to ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking. You want our persistence. So God, we do ask that you'd set MCC on fire, Lord, that you would burn in our hearts to know you better, to spend intimate time with you, that you would empower the leaders of this church and your church across the globe, that you would use missionaries to spread the gospel, that you'd use people within these walls to spread the gospel, that you'd be with our kids and our youth right now, and may your word go so deep into their hearts that it would be rooted and planted there forever, that it would bear fruit. May each person in this building walk faithfully with you. What's on your heart? Just ask God right now. Not our will, but yours be done, Lord. Ultimately, we yield. We know your way is better. Lord, would you just transform our desires to be your desires, our will to come in line with your will. May we set our mind on things above, not on earthly things, so that we can see how you're working, how you're moving. May that guide our priorities. Lord, we submit and yield ourselves to be devoted to prayer, to be devoted to time with you, to be devoted to the furthering of the gospel. And as you sing, make this your prayer, that we would just lay everything down at God's feet. His ways are better.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected throughout the week by following Montgomery Community Church on Facebook and Instagram. For more information about MCC, visit our website at mcc.church.